Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Hey, and here's what's happening Tuesday, April 2, the 8th. It is 2020. Brady Wright, Shane Osborne, and Steve, the producer, Johan, joining six or seven other listeners on this.
I think so. Maybe 15 or 20.
I think there's 12, maybe. I don't know. This is the 134th show in our Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust history. You can find us on iTunes or iHeart Podcasts. We're on Spotify and, of course, Podomatic.com and probably six or seven others that we haven't found
about
yet.
About 10 others.
It's weird that we keep finding other places where our show is, and we didn't even put it up there, so that's kind of nice.
It is. It's cool.
Somehow, you have succeeded in liking and following our Facebook page, and you can do that for all the latest shows. I want to take a moment and thank Witch Doctor Restoration for being one of our sponsors. Your project could be a witch doctor project. It sure could be. Big job, small job, dream job. Call 206-437-1765 in the greater Seattle area, and Shane will get her done for you. Our first segment is always Back to the Blacktop, and that's where we kind of go back to the blacktop, and Steve finds stuff that has to do with the automotive industry, and as usual, he has found stuff for tonight. What have you got there, sir?
Well, Detroit's Big Three are planning to push back their launch of production as the country slowly begins to emerge from the lockdown. They're signaling a delay in reopening plans to extend into about May 18th. They were hoping this coming week, but now it's pushed out to May 18th. Of course, we will be watching to see if this is true. Here in the Northwest, Boeing is opening up some of their manufacturing lines, which
big,
is this week. That's been really cool. And, you know, I don't think, Brady, we're going to have anybody complaining about traffic anymore. If people do, they need to just shoot themselves in the foot if they complain about traffic when we are back to work.
The best line I have heard so far about traffic, and this works in any big city, but it just happened to be in Seattle. I guess we know, now that there's nobody on the road, I guess we know it was the non-essential people that were causing all the traffic problems because there aren't any, you know. And,
God.
Well, you know, it's
kind I know.
It's kind of true. You know, this is a useless aside, but I live 14 miles from the center of downtown Seattle.
Right.
And it took me, usually it takes 45 minutes or so to get
easy
down there in traffic,
yep,
in the morning. I went there in 16 minutes.
Yes.
It's like, this is way too good. I don't want to go back down there because it's
no,
the traffic's
you and I are
horrible.
Both the same.
Yep.
Another article I came across stated that used parts segment may rebound faster than the new parts, much like it did back in 2008, downturn. And I think, and I'm predicting, that used car market will also rebound faster than the new car market. What's your opinion on that one, Brady?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, certainly people have been financially strapped a little bit.
Yes.
You know, during this whole 6 weeks, it's been really tough. There's a lot of people who are really kind of scraping by. And as opposed to buying a new car, well, you already take the depreciation with a one-year-old car. That makes perfect sense. You can still get a warranty. If you're going to buy a used car, they're on the lot. The dealers want to get them out of there. I'm sure there's deals to be made. And when it comes to parts, you know, if you can do a part from a dismantler, it's probably going to be better than going. Certainly be cheaper than going and getting a new one. Although at this point, when the economy comes back, I think it's going to come back with a vengeance. That's just my personal, but I'm pretty sure it is.
I'm going to hope with you. Speaking of cars, I have a Ford Taurus that I called up. I'm going to donate to a local radio station.
Oh, nice.
And I just got the email today from the auction house, and we're going to set it up. They're going to come out. They'll pick it up.
Good deal.
Take it. And whatever they get off of it, which will probably be $500 or $600, then they can take and give to the...
Well, you write off the scrap value, which is about $600.
Yeah.
And then that's fine. You know,
I was going to get $75 if I drove it down to our local place. And
okay,
it has transmission problems. Otherwise, I would have probably got $600 if I had sold it. But it has tranny problems.
I think the scrap value is probably that.
Yeah. So now, this is an interesting thing I came across, how AI and new technology is changing the way Hamburg traffic moves.
Hamburg, Germany?
Hamburg, Germany.
Hamburg.
According from what I have read, Hamburg, like Seattle, is one of the most congested cities in Germany.
It is.
And as such, has decided to invest heavily into AI and technology to the point it has become a premier smart city.
Hmm.
After calculating that there were about 113 hours a year being wasted 113 hours a year being wasted in traffic jam.
Per person?
I'm thinking, yeah.
It's got to be.
The city authorities are installing thermal imaging technology to traffic and streetlights, which will allow authorities to track all traffic patterns, which allows them to create data points, which will result in interconnected cloud-based system collecting 420 intersections. Ultimately, it will enable their traffic signals to change in real time.
Sure.
So they're not just sitting there idle. They'll actually be able to move. And with AI, it's got to be AI. It cannot be somebody physically doing this.
Yeah. As Big Brother-ish as this sounds,
it
could very well be a pretty good deal because, you know, gridlock and or the potential for it is a huge thing, especially in a lot of the cities in Europe aren't built on a flat grid like, you know, we did here. A lot of them are built on a very much older plan because they've been around for hundreds of years. And traffic is brutal in some of those cities. I was in Hamburg a long time ago. And the traffic was bad then, and you know it's not unique over there. There's a lot of places that have some of those problems. Interesting solution. I want to watch that and see what happens.
Well, and what's interesting is the traffic controllers can even differentiate between pedestrians, vehicle types, cyclists, allowing them to accurately count and process. But yes, keep in mind they track everyone's activities, which may not be what we want in the long run.
Facial recognition, whether or not you've been vaccinated.
That's already been approved in Washington State. We already have that approved here.
It's wonderful.
Just in case you wanted to know what a CEO of an automaker makes here in the United States, General Motors Chairman CEO Mary Barrera earned $21 million. That was 1.1 drop since of the sales went down. But she makes the largest package amongst the three CEOs.
Yep. Tied to performance.
Yep, it's tied to performance. And then of the many things that we've talked about on this show since the crackdown, Pebble Beach Concourse has canceled its eagerly anticipated annual event for collector cars.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, by the way, speaking of cancellations, I will say this now, although we'll probably talk about it at the end of the show too. The annual Rat Rods Monsters and Manson show is in fact canceled. They are a little concerned. It's May 16, 17. It's a terrific show, very small show here in the Washington State, Central Washington, but it's really a great show, Rat Rod show. And I'm on the phone with Jeff Conwell, who's you know the originator of the show, and they just decided you know they didn't want to take a chance.
Right.
But by that time, of course, the state will be reopened.
And I got a feeling there will be locals that still come over and hang out.
Actually, there's a group of about 30 of us going anyway.
I was going to say, if I had a rat rod, I'd go anyway.
Yeah.
I've seen the pictures. It looks like a great place.
Yeah, it is.
And then a cool way to give back, Porsche, who is offering families a welcome distraction from life under lockdown with Porsche 4, it's a number 4 kids, a free offer for children at home. It contains many games, activities, waiting for young children. It's Porsche4Kids.com on their website. And it's basically like coloring pages, craft ideas, and they even have their Tina Turbo and Tom Targa, German and English-speaking Porsche mascots there to kind of walk the kids along. I thought, now that's thinking outside the box. Offering your kids some place to go and play some online games and introduce them to Porsche.
And
the parents are going to feel really good about it. And then from the motorcycle.
I think
it's great. For Motorcycling World, as of yesterday, April 27th, production will gradually begin at Ducati factory in Borga Italy. Employees called to work will be the minimum necessary to carry out production, research activities, and must comply with safety regulations. And they've got, you know, they're really, I get a lot of postings for what goes on in the motorcycling realm, and they're really pushing a lot of some credit towards this and that, and no payments for about a year.
Oh, you bet.
I mean, a lot of people are going to jump on that.
Well, mostly motorcycles are, you know, a discretionary income sort of a buy.
Right.
Nobody needs one. Nope. So when you want one, I mean, the manufacturers are doing anything to get you into one. And, you know, I have a very good friend, I've known him for 12 years, who is a Harley-Davidson salesman from the word go. And several of them, but this particular one, he says, you know, I'm almost thinking of getting out of the business because it's hard, you know. $30,000 for a motorcycle, they're worth it every nickel.
HD's taken a huge hit.
It's tough.
And they're not going to come back.
Well, they might, but, you know.
But not
gonna,
to the
it's going to be different.
Pre-2008
sure.
era.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the Windshield View, we are going to talk to Hillary Nowak the owner of an all-female auto body shop in Ontario, Canada. Stick with us on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life, or just show up at your garage and weld up the frame for your rod so it stays together. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 206-437-1765. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 206-437-1765, 206-437-1765.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Project Yellow Light.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, it's Jeff Conwell with the Monsters and Manson, giving a big shout-out to everyone at Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View, and this week we're talking with the owner of an all-female auto shop in Oakville, Ontario, Hillary Nowak.
Hi, Hillary. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Is this, I want to make sure we're pronouncing your name correctly. Is it Nowak or Noak?
No, it's Nowak.
Nowak, very, okay, because we don't know. It's N-O-A-K for those of you who are listening without the prompter that we have underneath the video part of the show. So very cool. How's the weather in Oakville?
It was sunny today. It was a good day.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear it. You're a little bit far away from us, so time zones are being what they are. This is a late call for you and a sort of an early call for us, but we're glad to have you on the show. I have to ask, the name of your business there, and just to kind of preface this whole thing, Hillary owns an all-female auto body shop, and that means all the work and all the team, everybody there is a woman, and the name of the place is Ink and Iron. And I have to know how you came up with the name.
I actually got it from a tattoo magazine many, many years ago. I remember flipping through the pages and seeing it's a festival in California called Ink and Iron.
I'm very aware.
And it features like hot rods and like a bunch of pinup girls. And I just remember seeing that and being like, this is everything that like I love. And then, obviously being like a tattoo collector myself, it was kind of fitting, I guess, for everything that I wanted my business to be.
Well, that's cool. It's a great name and provocative and all those things, so that it sticks in your head. Plus, it's got kind of a nice look on a logo, I am sure.
But do you do ink inside the shop?
No.
We do. We actually,
you do?
Since I moved to Oakville, we have kind of like an unused office area that we have set up now as a private tattoo studio, which I have a female tattoo artist who's like big into cars that's there full time.
Excellent. Well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, that is really cool. Kind of reminds me of Rick Fairless and his motorcycle thing.
Oh, there you go.
He does customs and
cycles,
and he has an ink shop as well.
Yeah, there you go.
That's so cool.
Nice. Well, so what was the genesis of the idea to put together your shop? And this is going to sound like, you know, the kind of standard canned question, but what drove you to do all women? And was it hard to staff a shop like that?
I guess I had always known that I wanted my own shop. since I started in this trade. And I was kind of thinking, you know, what's going to make my business different than all the, you know, the thousands of other body shops out there. At the same time, when I first started in this trade, I didn't know any other women who did this. So, you know, through my career, I started meeting more and more women and just kind of hearing their stories or their struggles, or, you know, some women who ended up giving up on this trade because they couldn't get a job. And that's kind of what inspired me to open a shop that was completely women owned and operated, just to kind of give, you know, women a chance, I guess, like provide them with a place where they can come out and they can learn an environment where they feel comfortable in, and then you kind of send them out into the world with like the skills and confidence that they do belong.
Yeah, excellent.
Well, and I've seen some pictures online of the gals working in the different. How many people do you have working for you right now in your shop?
There's four of us full time, and then I have a few girls that come evenings and weekends, like part time.
Excellent. And as I understand, did you go to school for body work, or you learned by your own and then teach it at school? Talk to us about that.
Well, so here in Ontario, we have an apprenticeship program for auto body. So I did that. I started as a co-op student. I transitioned into my apprenticeship. And then prior to opening my shop, I did teach auto body at the college.
Oh, very cool. So you were able to sort of, I don't want to say poach students, but you could certainly identify people coming through the program as somebody that you might want to work with, right?
Yeah, and it's funny because my first semester I did there teaching full time, my younger sister was going through her apprenticeship, and there were two other girls in her class, which ended up working for me, and like we're still all really good friends. So it definitely was a great way to meet people.
Oh, that's very cool. Well, now,
yeah.
I understand. We've been kind of haunting your website and looking at your Facebook page and all that stuff, so, you know, in preparation to the show, because we try to be as prepared as we can possibly be. And I found something that I have to ask. You say your auto body repair shop is located in Oakville, Ontario, but your bio page says located in Mississauga. So which one is it, or are they close?
We were in, so initially I was in Mississauga, and we moved to Oakville.
I was going to say, it's a really big shop, because I know how far apart those are, and it's like, that's a huge place. Can't really be in both of them. But so what stimulated the move? Were you just kind of outgrow the space, or you find a better deal? Or?
Well, my lease was coming up for renewal, and just kind of in search of like a better location, I guess, when I opened up, I was kind of in an industrial plaza with like four other body shops, a lot of like heavy truck repair, like a really kind of crowded parking lot.
Right.
A lot of like, I don't even want to say walk-in, just a lot of like real like weird people just kind of lingering and watching us work. So
you kind of were located on the corner.
So just out of curiosity, I started, you know, looking around to see what was out there, and I found this really awesome place in Oakville. It's about 1200 square feet bigger, and just like a very kind of quiet, private, freestanding building. And I was just like, this is it. Like, this is where we have to move.
Oh, that's great. So you moved from the corner of sketchy and strange to a much
quiet and nice.
My quiet and nice place. Yeah. Very,
yeah.
Very
sounds
nice.
Like a TV show or something to me.
And I mean, like, I don't want to bash, you know, like that first place, it has such a
sure
like good place in my heart, right? Like that was my very first shop, and like I loved it so much, and it was so amazing being there. But then after time, you know, trying to build a higher end clientele and wanting to be in like a quieter, nicer area where people actually felt like they could leave their car without it being like chopped up and sold for parts is nice.
Yeah, that's hard to explain.
Oh, you have those kind of places too, huh?
Yeah.
That's hard to explain to the customer. You came in with a 58 Buick. However, yeah. Hey, I have a question. I know that it says that you're an auto body shop and you do restorations and stuff, and you really kind of don't do much in the way of mechanical work or other stuff. It's really strictly what I think it is. It's really strictly a body shop, right?
Yeah, we do paint and body. We don't do like mechanical repairs. We'll do mechanical to the extent of like removing a motor or like removing suspension parts and then rebuilding them type of thing. But yeah, we don't do any like routine maintenance.
So I'm kind of assuming then that you probably do you subcontract for some of the other shops that maybe are doing like a full restoration, and they'll pull all the gear and stuff and then send it over to you guys for the, you know, the lick and the promise and the straight paint, and then you send it back and they assemble and go.
Yep, that's a lot of what we do.
That's very, very cool. Now, what was it that drove you to want to do body work on cars? I mean, it's an amazing art form, and I people say it's a trade, but it really is an art form. I've watched some people who are, you know, very good at. We're lucky to have a really nice restoration shop fairly close to us here, and it's voodoo as far as I'm concerned. But it's something that, you know, doesn't draw just everybody. So what was the draw for you?
Well, initially I thought I maybe wanted to be a mechanic. And then in high school, I bought myself a 1970 Oldsmobile, and obviously being in Ontario in Canada, it was a huge rusty piece of crap. So then I kind of thought like, hey, I'd really like to learn how to fix like the body of this. I was in my grade 12 year. I was done all my credits. There was a body shop close to where my parents live. So I went down there and I asked if they'd be willing to take me on as a co-op student, and they said yes, and I got a co-op placement. And from, you know, just the first day, I was like, this is awesome. Like,
that
I love this.
Super.
And I was hooked.
Well, listen, I want to talk to you about that, and I want to talk to you about the connection between auto body work and sculpture when we come back. But we're going to take a break. We're talking with Hillary Noack. She is the owner of Ink and Iron in Ontario. Not Mississauga though, but Oakville, Ontario, and we're gonna find out more about that when we come back. You are listening to the greatest automotive podcast in the known world, if we do say so ourselves, and that, of course, is Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Stick with us; we'll be right back. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
This is Jerry Heasley, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest show I've been on in at least the last year.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
We are back with the second half of the Windshield View. And before the break, our guest tonight, Hillary Noack, was telling us about the kind of connection between auto body work, and I was going to hit her up with how that's related to sculpture. Hillary's the owner of Ink and Iron. It is a all-female auto body restoration and paint and stuff center in Ontario, Canada. And so let's kind of do that, if you don't mind, Hillary. Steve and I have talked about this, you know, other times. I'm restoring, well, I'm not really restoring. I'm building a 41 GMC pickup truck into a sort of a rat rod ice cream truck. And it's going to be fun when I'm done. It's kind of, you know, nifty, but there are some body pieces on there that I'm thinking, if I cover it with primer, no one will notice that it's not smooth. I'm suspecting that that's not one of your things. And I know that there is kind of a connection between the sensibilities of, you know, auto body work, making it perfect and making the lines great, and sculpture or some other sort of art project. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think definitely with like the sanding filler, you know, using different blocks and going through the contours and making sure your body lines are really nice. It is almost like sculpting in a way. And it's just something that takes a lot of like time and patience, but I love it. It's so rewarding for me. Like that's my favorite part of it. People are like, what? You're crazy. Like you like sanding? I'm like, I love it.
Well, Hillary, I was going to ask you, I want to kind of step back in time a little bit. What, and it sounds like your sister's got some of the bug too, but where along the lines did you decide you wanted to get your hands dirty and play with vehicles?
Probably, I guess, even kind of all through high school, you know, I would just kind of hang out with my dad, and he would do a lot of maintenance on their cars in the driveway. So he kind of showed me how to rotate tires. And, you know, I grew up in small town country, so getting your driver's license was like a huge deal, right? Like then you got a car and you had freedom and you could go visit your friends. So just, I guess like driving was always a passion. And then I took the automotive courses in high school. That's where I kind of thought I wanted to be a mechanic. And then, you know, I had a lot of guy friends. Like I was pretty nerdy in high school. I had like braces and a big afro and a hat, and I didn't have a lot of friends, but I found a good group of like dudes who love cars. And I'm like, okay, these guys are cool. And like cars are cool. And like, I feel like I can like talk about cars and like fit in with people. And I never really thought of it like as like, I'm a girl and it's not for me. And I guess like my parents never really pushed like gender roles like that on us. I just always felt like cars are cool. I like them and I want to work on them. And there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to.
Good for you.
So now when I'm looking at your shop, do you do the metal fabrication as well? So like if somebody comes in and you've got a lot of rust, you will have it sent out to a blast shop or etching shop and then bring it back in and will you do the cutting of the sheet metal and replacing and all that goes into it?
Yeah, we do. We do a lot of, like, I'm sure if you look through our website, like, we've done a couple of big builds on a couple of 68 Mustangs and a 67 Camaro. So, like, panel replacement and rust repair like that, we can definitely do. And then I'm also lucky, my husband is he's a fabricator. He works at a really well-known shop about half an hour from me. But he grew up in the Detroit area. His father owned a metal fabrication business. So like my husband does like coach building, like he can hand build cars with the English wheel, like super amazing. So if there's any time that we have something that's like needs to be custom fabricated or is kind of like out of our realm, like he's always there to help us.
That's super. What a resource, huh?
I know. It's like so cool. It's amazing what he can do.
Does he have the wheel there in your shop or does he have it down where he works?
He has one where he works, and then he has one in our shop as well.
So you're two-wheelers.
We're two-wheelers.
You're two-wheelers.
Brady, Ed, that was pretty good.
Hey,
like
so
that.
I was going to ask, I know that you're not alone, and you have a really great crew of women that work there. Do you want to give them a little shout-out and say who does what?
Yeah, so right now I have my sister, my little sister Emily. So she's kind of a free spirit. She loves to travel around the world, and then she comes back and works with me and saves some money and then goes on her way. So she's like my best friend. She's such a great help and a hard worker. And then I also have Tegan. She came from Australia. She did auto body in Australia, and now she's here helping us. So she's really great at like teardowns, reassemblies, kind of minor repairs and welding. And then I have Sarah. So she's my young apprentice. She's 20. She took auto body through high school, and she's she's got a great head on her shoulders. She's going to be such a phenomenal tech. I'm like super pumped for her. And then I have a part-time girl, Vicky, and she's been in Canada about a year. She came from Portugal. She's learning English and just super passionate about cars and really excited to be, you know, in a place where it's okay for women to work on cars. Like she said, back home in Portugal, people told her, like, you can't do this. So she's so positive and, like, such a ray of sunshine, and we love having her.
Well, that is wonderful.
Very cool.
So I wanted to know about some of the builds. Did we ask you how long you've run your shop?
No, but I just a little over 5 years now.
Very good. So now, where do your customer base come from? Is it pretty much just Oakville, or do you come from extended areas?
Mostly in the Toronto area for now, like maybe a couple hours outside of the city, but mostly in the Toronto area.
Okay, so Oakville must be like Lynnwood is to Seattle. Am I thinking right here?
Yeah, it's pretty close, yeah.
Yes. So you're a suburb of the big city of Toronto, and where lots of TV shows are shot, by the way. That is cool. That is cool. Now, do you just specialize in old steel, or do you do any modern steel? You're not just a typical body shop. You're more of a specialty shop, correct?
Right. Like, I'd say about 90% of what we do is restoration work, and then I'll do, like, we'll do the odd custom cars. Like, I have a Puma. I don't know if you guys know.
Oh, yeah, that's
that
fun.
Like,
wow, little... really?
Yeah, like we're doing a custom wide body on a Puma. So
oh,
we'll do
nice.
Like, you know, some cool little imports. And then we'll do like minor collision, like little fender benders type of things. But I don't get into like heavy collision or insurance work.
Right. So back to the Puma for just a second. What'd you do with the frame? I mean, how did you widen that out? Did you have to cut and split?
We made like flares, right? So it's all fiberglass. So we just custom made like fiberglass flares for it, cut it out, bonded them on.
Oh, so you didn't change the track or anything of the chassis?
No.
It's
no.
just bodywork. All right. That's still cool. That's still very cool. You don't see, not everybody has those things. You don't see Pumas being fiddled with very much. So it's kind of cool that you had one.
Yeah. It's a neat little car.
It's almost like having a cheetah, but of course you don't have one of those. Nobody has one of those.
No.
Very cool. Hey, by the way, before we go too much farther, I want to say Hillary's shop has a web page that is very, very cool. It has lots of pictures, of course, all of the women that work there, but also the body work that she's done, the projects and stuff. It's really cool. Ink and Iron Auto. And by the way, it's Ink and Iron. It's not the ampersand sign. So when you're typing in, you can probably do a search and get it either way. But if you go with and, you'll have a lot more luck, and it's very cool. I mean, the work you've showcased on there, I don't know who did your webpage, but it looks really good. It draws you in.
Oh, I did myself on Squarespace.
Did you? You're so good. Look
like,
at that. Squarespace.
Wow.
Squarespace is awesome.
Well, and
it really is.
Yeah.
You are very fond of posting on a regular basis on LinkedIn, and that's how I came across Hillary in the first place, is that's one of my favorite haunts as a business owner, and I let people know about our show occasionally. But Hillary, when I looked at your work, I haven't seen any final product yet. Is it? Have I missed that on your website where the final completely put together machine is sitting in front of your shop? Do you have any of those kind of shots that we can go look at?
I post a lot probably on our Instagram, which is at Ink and Iron Auto.
Okay.
And a lot of times, like, we don't do like a final assembly, right? Like, sometimes we'll just paint a car and then the customer takes it and they'll do reassembly themselves. So like, often we don't do like a completely full build.
Right. You know, you should say, I'll do the work for you. I'll knock $25 off if you send me a final picture.
Right. And like, sometimes it happens where the car leaves from us, and by the customer gets it back together like a year and a half later.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're right. I watch these shows on TV, and it looks like boom, ba-doom, boom, boom.
We did it in
done.
2 weeks. No,
and,
you
and
didn't.
No, 2 months, but they look like they did 2 weeks. And which reminds me of of the fact that we have Art Morris and Chaffee's here in our neck of the woods, and we have we interviewed him. And when you go to his website, he has all these beautiful, beautiful machines, and they are of the builds that used his chassis. Now, they did all the other work on their own and everything. And, yes, some of those things are 6 years in the making. I mean, especially if they're a Riddler Award-type build with their chassis under it. So they have stuff that's – so it would be cool if we can – you know, I'll go on your Instagram and take a look. But, yeah, we understand sometimes it takes a long time for the final build to be assembled and everything put back into it. And by that time, they're moving on, and they're not thinking about you, are they?
No. Or, like, sometimes we finish – like, we'll finish a car, but it still needs those final touches, like wheels or interior. So you have this beautiful paint job, but it's not, like, the complete package yet.
Yep. Yeah, there's a story that we have not too far from us. Our co-host, Shane Osborne, was the general manager of a place close by here that does restoration and fabbing. And for the first year we were doing this show, they had a customer up there that had a 1957 Chevy convertible that was going to be restored and just all tricked out and everything. And it kept coming back for more work, and then the guy would take it home. And a few months later, it would come back, and there would be more work, and the guy took it. And they finally finished it about a year and a half into our show. And we were talking about it, you know, the 57 Chevy is back and so on and so forth. And the guy finally finished it. He took it home. There were pictures. It was a lovely car. He had such a great time, and he drove it about 8 blocks and got in an accident.
Oh my God, oh, no way.
I'm not kidding.
Yes,
I'm not
that.
Even, you remember the guy?
Yes.
I'm not even kidding.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking.
And then they had another car, and I don't know if you work this way, but their shop tends to work month by month with their client base because they'll pay them X amount of money. They'll get so much done. They pay them more money.
Yeah.
You get a lot of that in your shop too, I take it.
For sure, yeah.
That's nice. People walk in and give you money, and eventually a car shows up.
Yes.
It's kind of nice. I know you're building something. I'd like to see it sooner or later.
You know, speaking of cool cars, there was a show way back in the 90s called Forever Night. It was shot in Toronto. It was one of the very first vampire. He was a cop and everything. And
I remember this show.
His car was it a 65? Cadillac. It
yeah,
was green. It was
65, 66, right in there. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful Cadillac. And he drove that thing around in there. And I'm like, I wonder if that is still up in your neck of the woods. So, I mean, you might look around and see if it happens
really
to be.
Cool.
It's in her shop right now. Are you kidding
me?
Yeah. Yeah, we do have an old Cadillac.
See? Who knows? It could be the same car. You don't know.
But anyways, that's what I have a fond memory is of watching that show. And, yes, that was his really cool car. He tooled around Toronto with. So now you do have a Cadillac in there right now. What are you working on? What are the couple of cars you guys are working on right now?
So the Cadillac that I've been posting a lot on LinkedIn, like I want to try and, you know, really document that full build because a lot of people have been asking about the process. So that one's out to be soda blasted right now. We just got a little 67 Mustang Fastback.
Always a good one.
It just came in for like a simple sand and paint. That's it. Like it's the bodywork's been done. It was in final primer, like no disassembly, just kind of panel paint it. So that's just being like final detailed, and that'll be out. The Puma wide body is there. The panel truss, the 59 panel truck we've been working on. We put our first round of primer on it, so it's just kind of sitting for a couple of days before we start blocking on that. We have a 57 Bel Air on a Roadster shop chassis. That's like our kind of little shop build.
Oh, that sounds fun.
When we have spare time, which is like realistically never, but one day it'll get done. We have a 59 Corvette.
Oh, okay.
That we're doing. We just got to do a little floor repair on it. Then it goes back on the chassis. Then we're going to start body working it. We have a 55 Buick special that we're doing a full build for. It we just got the full rolling chassis from Scott's Hot Rod.
That's
that.
So cool. I have to tell you, the 55 56 Buick, that was the car that basically I learned how to drive on. My dad had.
Oh, that's awesome.
My dad had one. I'm a lot older than I sound. My dad had one, and it was just the best. Hey, Hillary, I would love to talk longer. We could do this for, you know, another couple of hours, but we're actually right down to the end of our segment. So I just want to make sure people know where to reach you. You are at 458 Woody Road, Oakville, Ontario, Canada. inkandironauto@gmail.com is how you reach them. I would give the phone number, but people can find that by going on the webpage and seeing that, Ink and Iron Auto. Hillary Nook in scenic Oakville, Ontario, not Mississauga. Thanks for stopping by, Horsepower Chrome and Rust, tonight.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It was super fun.
Great. Well, we'll be right back with more of the show, and we've got, well, our trivia question coming up.
Today we decided to walk to school.
The light counted. 15, 14, 41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I
realized he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life, or just show up at your garage and weld up the frame for your rod so it stays together. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 206-437-1765. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 206- 206-437-1765, 206-437-1765.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
This is Quentin Folk. I dig up old hot rods, and I also dig this podcast.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving.
Hi, this is Adam Kramer from Avance.com. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
It's Cars Confidential, and we're back with a story from Lance Lambert this week. What's on deck?
Well, this Brady. Week it is a very alliterative title. Now, Lance is kind of famous for this. His books are alliterative, meaning same sounds. Fenders, Fins, and Friends, Grins, Gears, and Gasoline. The story is the Bullion Bathed Benz.
Yeah, he has a way wording.
Lance needs more vowels in his life, I think, is the thing. Anyway, this
not
one is...
Not voles.
Hmm?
Not vol, though.
No, vowels. Volvos. Right. I don't know.
Voles, something. Little creatures. He doesn't need those.
Yes, I remember those. Well, probably not.
No.
So this one is actually kind of a fun story, and there's a beautiful picture of his Studebaker Lark, well, I think it was his, and the head of the story, so here we go. Several years ago, my daily driver was a very nice 1962 Studebaker Lark. Now, some of you may be confused seeing the words very nice and 62 Studebaker Lark used in the same sentence. It may be even more confusing when you realize I'm talking about a four-door sedan with a factory accessory roof rack. This is not automotive sex here that most people would go, oh, well, fine. This same rack is occasionally seen on station wagons and never seen on sedans. Well, almost never.
Almost never.
The Lark came into the Lambert Corral via a local collector, a car auction. I had no intention of ever owning such a grandpa car, but there it was, and it was love at first sight. It was in pristine condition, previously owned by a real grandpa, of which Lance has now joined the ranks. And best of all, it had just over 30,000 original miles on the odometer. This elder wagon was very nice. That's, you know, elder wagon.
Elder wagon.
Yeah, that's...
I love it.
From here on
what
out, we're calling Henry the Hillman Lance's Hillman. That's going to be the elder wagon.
Yes.
Lance is now an official
He's grandpa, over the 70 mark.
But he's actually grandpa. His grandson, Cade,
yes,
is just a super-looking kid, too. Anyway, the Elder Wagon was very nice, and it was perfect for my daily travels. The auctioneer noticed that my hand was the last raised at the end of the bidding, so there was no turning back. So for only $3,800, I now owned a very nice Studi, or as a friend called it, a stupid baker. The purchase price was a very reasonable for a car that was later featured in local and national publications and left several car shows with a trophy or two in the trunk. One spring day, I pulled up to a pump at a gas station located on Mercer Island east of Seattle. This is the high-rent district, for those of you who don't live in the Northwest. This hunk of dirt is famous for the waterfront homes and the residents having the highest income level in Washington State. Bill Gates lives there, just so that we're all on the same page. So there I am, pumping gas into the lowly Lark and taking in the local ambiance, when in drives a totally tricked-out new Mercedes-Benz with everything that's removable being gold-plated.
Wow.
Out the driver stepped, and magnificent he was in his all-black outfit that included a leather jacket embossed on the back with the logo of the Sonics basketball team. This guy was too short to be a player, so perhaps he was just a fan, or owner, who liked embossed leather jackets and gold plating. He glanced at my Studi and looked away, seemingly unimpressed. I was impressed with how he had taken his nice-looking car and turned it into a brothel. I've seen them in the movies. The car did not exhibit good taste, but it sure exhibited great excess. Now, don't get me wrong, I like cars manufactured in Stuttgart, and there is one in my automotive past that was a total pleasure to drive. I'm not claiming to be the Emily Post of automobiles, but there would be a lot of gold-plated cars running around if it was considered a tasteful choice. The Golden Chariot's driver may have looked upon the Studebaker as being extremely homely, and he might be correct. I guess it's all in the eyes of the beholder, but this beholder was looking away from his Midas-mobile. So there sits my Lark on one side of the gas pumps, and his Benz on the other. Then it happens. A few people come out of the station's convenience store and notice the cars. The grandpa car, Studebaker, immediately makes friends with all of them, and they cast admiring glances at it and ask me a lot of questions like, what is it? Is it restored? What's it worth? The low purchase price surprises them, and they make congratulatory compliments on what a good deal it was. Now, over on the other side of the pumps sits the gold-covered Benz, screaming out, "Hey, over here! Don't you like my gold-plated rearview mirrors, hubcaps, window frames, and three-point hood star?" The owner's body language says he's really let down with being overshadowed by a stupid baker, driven by a grubby guy in ripped jeans and no jacket, embossed or not. Many readers will perhaps take a gold-plated luxury car over a roof-racked grandpa car any day. Personal taste is just that, an expression of what a person likes. It's likely that this bullion-bathed Benz, here we go, bullion, I'm going to say it again, bullion-bathed Benz, filled the owner with pride and pleasure. Perhaps at this moment the owner may be writing a story about the homely old Studebaker with a silly-looking roof rack. Yes, his automotive decor choice is just as valid as mine. The Studebaker no longer resides in my garage. I wonder if the next owner had the roof rack gold-plated.
What a great story. And you know, he just takes a passing situation and he turns it into a great must-read.
Yeah, I have
story.
To congratulate Lance. In spite of all of the hyperbola that he cast upon the poor Benz, he managed not to use the term pimp-mobile, and I congratulate him.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it was wonderful that
Matter of fact, I hated the term, and I still hate the term. I'm going to pimp out my car,
and
man.
And yet it is evocative of a certain style.
Always reminds me of there's two movies, I think, but the one movie is Magnum Force, where the pimp gets nailed.
Yes, yes. Clint Eastwood, of course.
Clint Eastwood. So that one always reminds me of that situation. So
yeah. Well, you know, it was a style for a while. You never see them anymore, but then that doesn't mean they don't exist.
And then, of course, there was Superfly.
Jeez. I had forgotten Superfly.
I am working to find the guy that made those great, big, huge headlamps. I have a connection, but I don't think the guy is doing much anymore.
Well, I know what they were modeled on. I can give you that piece of information.
Yes.
Back in the day, in the 30s probably, and both before and after, but the 30s mainly, there was a company called Marshall, M-A-R-C-H-A-L, Marshall, and they made headlights for several different cars, and they made a 15-inch headlight. And it looked, for all the world, like those headlights. It's just great, big, blaring
right.
thing. It had a three-point sort of star in the middle of the headlight, and it was nominally a rock shield, but of course it wasn't. It was just a decoration. But yeah, the Marshall headlights, they were very bright for the time as well. So it could be that he either got some of those, which would be ridiculously expensive.
Well, actually,
or he had them made after that.
Well, yeah, and he the name escapes me. I'm sorry about that, but I'll get it, and we'll see what we can do. But he actually had whole kit cars, the whole front ends that would convert the front ends of Cadillacs, And it was funny because when I was watching the first Roger Moore in the series of James Bond, because I'm working through the box sets.
Oh, right.
It was all the black guys. It was all and I went, oh, this was right at the height of black dramas and crime dramas movie theater.
They used to call it blaxploitation.
Well, that came
films.
Later, but that's where
it
was.
Yeah.
But that's they had them on there, too. And I went, okay, that was really the scene in the early 70s.
Could be.
And, once you all get
I know
a picture of it.
My friend that had the 47 Jaguar had that thing. Hey, it wasn't a Mark IV, but it was a big sedan, right-hand drive, beautiful car. And it had those large headlights. I don't think they were quite 15. They're probably 12s, but they're big headlights.
Yeah, it's a conversion kit that you put right on there.
These came with the Jaguar.
Okay, well, these ones did.
Well, 47. So after that, people kind of liked the look, even though the headlights were hideously expensive.
Jaguar, 59 XJ6. Beautiful.
59?
59 is what I like. It's there's a Inspector Morse TV show mystery.
Oh,
and he always drove around in a 59 XJ6, not the sporty one, but the four-door, just burgundy. And I always thought that would be a slick car to own. And they're still around out there.
A lot of money today,
well,
I would think.
I would trick it out. I'd really...
first, you'd replace the electrical system.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'd completely do a complete modification on there. But
well, that'd be a fun project.
It would be.
I sincerely
but
hope
I gotta get my El Camino done
once
first.
Once you finish your El Camino, then you can get the Jag. And
I just need to make some money and have a second garage.
Well, there you go. It's nothing that you can't handle. It's just it's a matter of time is all. So next week, we are still going to be doing Lance Lambert's show, but I've got Lance Lambert's stories, but I got a different book that I'm going to bring in next week. So hang in. The Nathan Lipinski Weekly Trivia Question is coming up next, plus a peek at next week's show. So put it in park. Stick around. We will be back. Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life or just show up at your garage and help. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 425-626-4135. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 425-626-4135. 425-626-4135.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
This is Vince LaViolette from Shelby American in Las Vegas, and you're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino, El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Hey, welcome back. It's Around the Wheel. Brady Wright, Steve, the producer, Johan. We're going to be talking about upcoming events, the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question as well. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, I will repeat the Manson, Washington, Monsters and Manson Rat Rod Show has been for the last 5 years a wonderful week, yearly gathering of rat rod people and just people with, you know, hot rods in general. And this year we were kind of concerned whether or not it was going to go on because of all the COVID-19 stuff. And I spoke with Jeff Conwell, one of the originators of the show, just a couple of days ago, and he said, nope, we're gonna bag it for this year, which is terrible. Now, I will say this. Some of the guys from the RSC group in Spokane, Kevin Martin and some of his pals, are planning to take a run over there anyway.
Yep.
Just because it's the time. I spoke with Ron Foreman earlier tonight. The Rat Bastards are going to, you know, bring some of their group, and we're actually going to make a weekend out of it. So
excellent.
There won't be a Rat Rods and Manson show, but there will be monsters, and they will be
lurking
there. I don't know where, but I'm pretty sure that there's going to be some Rat Rods and Manson over the weekend.
I think so, too. And
This is May 15, 16, 17. So this
will be great.
Yeah.
And
Saturday, Sunday, we'll be there.
Yep.
Anyway, the show, it's officially canceled, which is too bad. So, but still, you know, these things, these cars are there to drive, and that's really the reason people, you know, go there anyway. So
yep.
It's a beautiful town. The trivia question for last week was a good one. We talked about the guide Michelin, the Michelin Travel Guide, and you know it's kind of it's all online these days, but it used to be a great big book that you could buy, and it had all kinds of cool stuff in it, and it originated as something a little bit different from what it turned into being. So the question was, what was the first one? When was it? And what was its purpose? And we had a winner. Tyrell Ballston caught me on Facebook. He sent me an email, said, I know what it is. In fact, he has a guide Michelin, not the original, of course, but he has one that he still uses. It started off as a list of the gas stations in France.
Wow.
And where they were. That's because it's French.
Was it put out by a Michelin tire company?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm
and
thinking.
And it was all about the gas station. Now, of course, it has since gone to gas stations, road stops, restaurants, it's all of that stuff. And it's, you know, it's become sort of a, you know, indispensable guide for people who travel. And, of course, it's international now. It's all over
right.
the place. But it started out as a list of gas stations in France in 1900. So you can imagine there were eight.
Wow.
it was a pamphlet when they first started out. Anyway, yeah, congratulations, Tyrell Ballston. He's going to get his name on the 8x10 lovely winner certificate that we'll be putting on our Facebook page that, of course, awards him the virtual can of horsepower chrome and rust barn find dust. This week's question is, the very first year, everybody knows the Chevrolet emblem. The bow tie has, you know, kind of been it. It's still on the cars today. But what was the very, it wasn't the original Chevy emblem.
No, nope.
It was not. So the very first bow tie, the first appearance of the bow tie, if you know the year of that one, you can get us at Facebook, Horsepower Chrome and Rust. On the Facebook page, you can contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can send us a messenger any way you like. And you, too, could be recognized for your unlimited automotive knowledge or your Google speed.
Well, you know, you were talking about things that used to be, and in popped my mind was when I was a kid, I did road trips with my folks. We'd
do sure.
many, many states, be out for 3 weeks. And as a kid, every time we'd stopped at the grocery or at a gas station, we'd get these little S&H green stamps.
Oh, yeah.
And we would save them up. And maybe at the end of the trip, we'd have enough to get something. You'd redeem it for something.
That's right.
And
they had coupon books. They had gift books.
The little gift books.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I used, and my parents would always do, would be to get the American Express traveler's checks.
Yeah,
because
or
you
Cooks.
Didn't have credit cards in those days.
You had Cooks as well.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
See, American Express traveler's checks, a lot here, but in Europe they used Cooks, and same kind of thing.
Yep.
Hey, make sure you check our Facebook page for the full 8x10 color winner's picture of the trivia question this week. You'll also see our archives. You can like and follow our Facebook page, and we love it when you do that. Thanks to Hillary Nowak of Ink and Iron in Ontario, Canada, for chatting this week. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johan, I am still Brady Wright. You still need to keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Next week, we gonna do it again on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.